We can't say we didn't tell you about this one. Guys, another one for you. First, as you know, the world went wild when the male romper, or the romp him, hit the fashion scene. Orders went through the roof. Well, today we present this ensemble, designed by LA-based brand Hologrammus. Social media is all googly-eyed over this. Can't be sure if those pieces are machine washable, but I checked, and some of the color and combo sizes are already sold out. So if you like what you saw.
As early as next week, you won't need to pick a gender to apply for a Washington, D.C. driver's license. The state following in Oregon's footsteps. We actually told you about that last week.
And just that thing again, just going back to your original article, you know, just because we disagree with something, should it be banned? Is our world really coming to a place of safe spaces? You know, isn't that what the Nazis did? They burned books because they didn't like what was written inside them.
Exactly right.
You know? So are we going to support fascist behaviour now? Is that what we're going to do in a bid to be PC?
I think that is exactly what's happening now.
So I have to ask you, speaking of countries divided by language and religion about Canada, the country we lived for a while, there is a new law in Canada that apparently will criminalize the misuse of pronouns. You could go to jail for calling someone by a pronoun he, she, or whatever doesn't prefer. Am I misreading this law? Does it actually suggest that that could happen?
Yes, they've added gender identity to the Canadian Human Rights Act. Actually is the case for Canadians. Misgendering someone will risk you being embroiled either at a human rights commission or in a criminal court. Absolutely extraordinary, this. What we're witnessing is an Orwellian assault on the most fundamental language, the language which defines the two sexes. And Canada has just put itself on the side of criminalizing that.
Wait, a fundamental language that corresponds with fundamental biology, all of which it is now mandatory to deny. It's all, you sort of wonder, like, why does no one stand up and say that?
Shalom, and welcome back to Scripture and Prophecy. I'm Sean, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today is June 30th. It's Friday, 2017, and welcome back. And, we are working on a new series, and this is episode 2 of probably many, dealing with the days of Noah and the days of Lot, because Jesus told us, you know, that his appearing, his coming, it would be like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. And for us to understand, if we're in that time frame, we have to understand what was going on during the days of Lot and during the days of Noah. And so for these first few episodes, I'm dealing with the days of Lot. And then we're going to need many more episodes to deal with the days of Noah, because there's so much going on in the days of Noah that it's a huge task to take on. And so that's what we'll be doing. This is probably what we'll be doing for the next couple of months. And but trust me, it's going to be very, very interesting. Especially if you're new to this understanding about what's going on. That audio clip you heard there, that was from a recent Jason A. video, which was very timely. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be going through parts of the book of Jasher. That'll probably be the next two episodes. It's chapter 18 today, next Friday, chapter 19. And Jasher fills in a lot of information for us about Sodom and Gomorrah and about the days of Lot and what was taking place there. Now, if you don't know what the book of Jasher is, I don't have time to go into all of that. But just know that the Bible sources it, refers to it as a reliable source twice in the Old Testament. I want to say in the book of Kings and in the book of Samuel. I've got a video out there dealing with this. I believe if you go to the YouTube channel, here, I'll just do it while I'm talking to you. If you go to the YouTube channel and in the little search tab at the top, you should be able to just type in Enoch. And it'll bring up a bunch of videos. And yes, it's called Noah, Enoch, Giants, and the Great Deception. It's only 19 minutes long, and it'll be a good foundational video for you for this series. So Noah, Enoch, Giants, and the Great Deception. So if you get a chance, check that out. And maybe I'll try to include it with the blog post and everything so that it's easy for you guys to find. But that'll really open up or really set some groundwork for this. And then I've got just tons of videos dealing with this topic, actually. But I decided to make an entire series out of it so it'd be more current and what have you. Anyway, I want to start by going through headlines just from the last week. And it's pretty amazing. I got to the point where I just stopped collecting them because it was just so many dealing with this time that we're talking about. And so I'm going to just read the headlines to you. I'm not going to go through all the articles. It'll speak for itself. So let me just read some of these headlines, and then we'll get into the book of Jasher here. X marks the spot. The rising of tide of transgender millennials who are opting to identify as Generation X. There's no male, no female anymore, according to this culture. Days of Lot, New York City lays out welcome mat for cops to come out as transgender. EndTimeHeadlines.org, another one from EndTimeHeadlines.org. Days of Lot, are you ready for the LGBT Bible app? Yes, you heard that correctly. VOANews.com, hundreds of thousands across the U.S. march for gay pride. Days of Lot, teachers union demands mandatory LGBT education for children. Now, I want you to pay attention to how many times these headlines are dealing with your small children and this agenda. Lace shorts set for men are the latest fashion trend. Men walking around in lace shorts. Listen to this. Drag queen story hours for children are happening across the country. This is actually taking place, folks. Let me just read some of this. Audrey Sensors was 8 years old when she attended her first drag show. Now 9, she considers herself to be an expert on Fresno's thriving drag scene and was even named an honorary princess by the Imperial Dove Court, an LGBT-focused charity led by local drag queens. But Audrey is realizing it's not an easy thing for people to understand, especially her fellow fifth graders. This is just ridiculous, and I've seen these videos, and they literally have men dressed up in drag reading books to kids in public school in the United States of America. Pew Research shows evangelical support for gay marriage is doubling. And that's because this church age, the Laodicean church age here in the United States of America, is completely ignorant about the Bible and what it actually says, along with those who are standing in the pulpit preaching it. None of them know the Bible. They just cherry-pick their favorite verses, come up with their favorite doctrines, and it's all about being tolerant towards every form of wickedness. Next article here. Children exposed to homosexual makeouts on Kiss Cam at Dodgers baseball game. Can't even take your kids to a baseball game anymore. Government-funded media, it's good for child sexual development to see drag queens' genitals. That's a quote from a mainstream media person. Here's one that really blew my mind. Sesame Street celebrates LGBT during Gay Pride Month. Do you see the massive focus towards the children and pushing this agenda on the children? Massive focus. And, you know, when I'm reading these things, especially ones dealing with the children, and I'm thinking of Matthew, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, which says this, and let this be a warning, but whosoever misleads one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him to have a milestone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Some translations will say, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin, it would be better for them to have a milestone hung around their neck and dropped in the sea. God is very serious about this. And, you know, we're talking about the times of Lot, which is more specifically the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that this is an example to those who would live ungodly. Let this be an example. You do these things, this is eventually what's going to happen. Fire and brimstone raining from heaven of completely annihilating you. And that, you know, either God's either going to do what he said he's going to do according to the scriptures, and he's going to handle this the way he says he's going to handle it, or he's a liar. So which is it? I believe God tells the truth. And if that be the case, then severe punishment is coming. And, you know, it's important to also note that it wasn't just like homosexuality and that kind of stuff. Sodom was evil in so many ways, and we're going to learn about two ways over the next 2 weeks. One way was just sexual immorality. It was definitely a big, rampant part of their immorality, but also just wrong judgment going forth. Kind of like what we see here in America, where evil people, you know, where the judges rule in favor of the wicked, where they treat the poor harshly. Think about how our veterans are treated. Some cities in America, and I should have researched it so I could tell you which cities it is currently, have made it illegal to feed the poor or to give money to the poor on the side of the street. I mean, this is the type of things that are happening. We have more prisoners in the United States than anywhere else in the world. There's no other country that has more prisoners than the United States, yet we're only 5% of the population. But we've become so accustomed that it's okay. You know, well, this is just how it works. No, it doesn't. The largest percentage of the world's prisoners should not be in the quote-unquote land of the free. Most of you hearing this are probably hearing this for the first time. There's a big, giant, it's just like in the medical field and everything else, there's a huge business in putting people in jail. And, we are just like Sodom and Gomorrah in so many ways. And we're going to read about this. And just so you know, Jasher chapter 18. And I'm pulling out my Researcher's Library of Ancient Text, volume 1. It's the Apocrypha plus the Book of Enoch plus the Book of Jasher plus the Book of Jubilees all in one. Highly recommend this. It's like $20. And you get all these extra biblical texts that are quoted from the Bible, referred to by the Bible. A majority of it was even included in your 1611 King James Bible. Many of you probably didn't know that. The King James Bible had over 80 books in it, friends, when it was originally published, and it was that way for almost 200 years. It was the 1600s to the 1800s. That's for a topic for another day. But I highly recommend you get this. There's a link to it in my show notes. It just says Apocrypha there, and it may be I think the quick link for those of you who are just listening, I think it's scriptureandprophecy.com/apocrypha, but I highly recommend you get a copy of this. It's going to be the cheapest way for you to obtain all these books, and it's in a big giant book, easy to read, and it's in that King James style. So anyway, let's get to it, because I'm going to end up running out of time here. We're going to read chapter 18, starting with verse 11. Let me get a drink of water here. And I'm going to read to you chapter 18. And then next week, we'll read chapter 19. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. The Book of Jasher. Chapter 18, starting with verse 11. In those days, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and of the whole five cities were exceedingly wicked and sinful against Jehovah. And they provoked Jehovah with their abominations, and they strengthened an aging abominable and scornful before the Lord. And their wickedness and their crimes were in those days great before Jehovah. And they had in their land a very extensive valley, about half a day's walk. And in it there were fountains of water and great deal of herbage surrounding the water. And all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah went there four times in a year, with their wives and their children and all belonging to them. And they rejoiced with their timbrels and dances. And in the time of rejoicing, they would all rise and lay hold of the neighbor's wives, and some of the virgin daughters of their neighbors, and they enjoyed them. And each man saw his wife and his daughter in the hands of his neighbor, and did not say a word. And they did so from morning to night, and they afterward returned home, each man to his house, and each woman to her tent. So they always did four times a year. Also, when a stranger came into their cities and brought goods which he had purchased with a view of dispose of there, the people of those cities would assemble men, women, and children, young and old, and they would go to the man and take his goods by force, giving a little to each man until there was an end to all goods of the owner which he had brought into the land. You know, you may be thinking, well, we don't do that in this country. Really? Because maybe you don't realize this, but if you're just a working middle class person, you're giving about 60% or 70% of your income away in taxes. Your money's being taken and distributed through everybody else. You don't see that we're all being robbed like this, and you think, well, I'm not giving 60% or 70%. Listen, figure out how much you're giving out of your income, which is usually about 25%. And then every time you buy something, you're paying tax. When you sell something, when you buy something, you're paying property tax. You're paying taxes when you pay your cell phone bill, when you pay your utility bill. Listen, you're paying 60-70% taxes. If you were to be able to figure it up, it would be a close number to that. And I don't have the exact number, but think about that. Every time you buy, every time you do anything, you're paying taxes. If you die, you're paying taxes. Your money is stolen by force, because if you don't do it, they'll put you in jail, right? And we just think this is normal behavior. So when I read passages like this, I think it's not that different. It's not that different. Even, you know, they talk about how the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they would gather and have these parties and have orgies and all that. That goes on in America every weekend, folks. And it has been going on forever. It's now mainstream to have sex parties in these big cities like New York City and LA, where the rich and famous go and they pay $10,000 to enter. And then it's just a big old thing. No different at all. And we've been doing this kind of stuff for years in this country, but now it's more mainstream. Now it's promoted as a good thing through the media. Moving on. And if the owner of the goods quarreled with them, saying, "What is this work which you have done to me?" Then they would approach to him one by one, and each would show him the little which he took, and taunt him, saying, "I only took what little thou didst give me." And when he heard this from them all, he would arise and go from them in sorrow and bitterness of soul. And when they would all arise and go after him, and drive him out of the city with great noise and tumult. And there was a man from a country of Elam, who was leisurely going on the road, seated upon his ass, which carried a fine mantle of divine colors. And the mantle was bound with a cord upon the ass. And the man was on his journey, passing through the street of Sodom, when the sun set in the evening. And he remained there in order to abide during the night. But no one would let him into his house. And at the time there was in Sodom a wicked and mischievous man, one skillful to do evil, and his name was Hadad. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the street of the city. And he came to him, and he said, Whence comest thou, and whither dost thou go? And the man said to him, I am traveling from Hebron to Elam, where I belong. And as I passed, the sun set, and no one would suffer me to enter his house, though I had bread and water and also straw and provender for my ass, and am short of nothing. And Hadad answered and said to him, All that thou shalt want shall be supplied by me, but in the street thou shalt not abide all night. And Hadad brought him into his house, and took off the mantle from the ass with the cord, and brought them into his house. And he gave the ass straw, and provided with the traveler ate and drank in Hadad's house. And he abode there that night. And in the morning the traveler rose up early to continue his journey, when Hadad said to him, Wait, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and then go. And the man did so, and he remained with him. And they both ate and drank together during the day. And when the man rose up to go, and Hadad said to him, Behold, now the day is declining, thou hast better remain all night, that thy heart might be comforted. And he pressed him so that he tarried there all night. And on the second day he rose up early to go away. When Hadad pressed him, saying, Comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and then go. And he remained and ate with him also the second day. And then the man rose up to continue his journey. And Hadad said to him, Behold, now the day is declining. Remain with me, comfort thy heart, and in the morning rise up early and go thy way. And the man would not remain, but rose and saddled his ass. And whilst he was saddling his ass, the wife of Hadad said to her husband, Behold, this man has remained with us for 2 days, eating and drinking, and has given us nothing. And now shall he go away from us without giving anything? And Hadad said to her, Be silent. It's important to note, I think, that the mindset here is that it's not to be charitable or kind. The mindset is, hey, how dare we do something for you and we not get anything in return? Which, again, seems to be the mindset of most people that I encounter in this day and age. Verse 29, or 28, And the man saddled his ass to go, and he asked Hadad to give him the cord and the mantle to tie upon his ass. Alright, so let me just recap a little bit. So this guy has this really nice mantle, it says. It's got all kinds of collars on it and a cord. And he goes into the city, but it begins to get late. Nobody in Sodom and Gomorrah would allow him to stay and spend the night. This evil man who the book of Jasher is describing as very crafty and doing evil, very, you know, deceptive, says, yeah, come into my house. He takes the mantle and puts it in his house to, you know, keep nice for the guy. And feeds him, and then the guy gets up to leave, and he says, no, stay another day, you know, and so the guy agrees to stay another day. Now he's trying to leave, and he wants his mantle back so he can take off. And the wife, of course, is complaining that this man dared stayed and had some food, but didn't give them any money. And so this is where we're at. So he's just now asking, So he's asking him, hey, I need to go. Can I have my mantle back, please? My really nice mantle. And Hadad said to him, What sayest thou? And he said to him, That thou, my lord, shall give me the cord and the mantle made with diverse colors, which thou did conceal with thee in thy house to take care of it. And Hadad answered the man, saying, This is the interpretation of thy dream. The cord which thou didst see means that thy life will be lengthened out like a cord, and having seen the mantle colored with all sorts of colors means that thou shalt have a vineyard in which thou wilt plant trees of all fruits. So, basically, you'll start to see what Hadad is doing here. He's trying to act like, oh, I never got a mantle, you must have had a dream. Here, let me interpret your dream. Verse 31, And the traveler answered, saying, Not so, my lord, for I was awake when I gave thee the cord, and also a mantle woven with different colors, which thou did take off the ass to put them by for me. And Hadad answered and said, Surely I have told thee the interpretation of thy dream, and it is a good dream, and this is the interpretation thereof. Now the sons of men give me 4 pieces of silver, which is my charge for interpreting dreams. So now he's asking for money for interpreting this dream that he's claiming this guy had. And the man provoked at the words of Hadad, and he cried bitterly, and he brought Hadad to Sarek, judge of Sodom. All right, so the man is now taking Hadad to the judge to complain to the judge about getting ripped off and stolen from. And the man laid his cause before Sarek, the judge, and when Hadad replied, saying, "It is not so. But thus, the traveler stands," and the judge said to the traveler, "This man Hadad telleth thee the truth, for he is famed in the cities for accurate interpretations of dreams." All right, so now we have the judge playing along with Hadad to do evil to this man. And the man cried at the word of the judge, and he said, "Not so, my lord, for it was in the day that I gave him the cord and mantle which was upon the ass in order to put them by his house." And they both disputed before the judge, the one saying, "Thus the matter was," the other declaring otherwise. And Hadad said to the man, "Give me 4 pieces of silver that I charge for my interpretations of dreams. I will not make any allowance, and give me the expense of the 4 meals that thou did eat in my house." And the man said to Hadad, "Truly I will pay thee for what I ate in thy house. Only give me the cord and mantle which thou did conceal in thy house." And Hadad replied before the judge and said to the man, "Did I not tell thee the interpretation of thy dream? The cord means that thy days shall be prolonged like a cord, and the mantle, and thou wilt have a vineyard in which thou wilt plant all kinds of fruit trees. This is the proper interpretation of thy dream. Now give me 4 pieces of silver that I require as compensation, for I will make thee no allowance." And the man cried at the words of Hadad, and both quarreled before the judge, and the judge gave orders to his servant, who drove them rashly from his house. And they went away quarreling from the judge. When the people of Sodom heard them, they gathered about them, and they exclaimed against the stranger, and they drove him rashly from the city. And the man continued his journey upon his ass with bitterness of soul, lamenting and weeping. And whilst he was going along, he wept at what had happened to him in the court, in the corrupt city of Sodom. And that is chapter 18. Now, next week when we read chapter 19, we're going to read more about the wickedness, about what these judges would do, and of course the final outcome and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in that portion of the story, according to the book of Jasher, dealing with Lot and the angels and all of that. But we're going to have to save that for next week for the sake of time. But, you know, the important part to note here is their wickedness was not just sexual immorality. It was just overall evilness, just terrible evilness. And you'll see some of that when we read chapter 19 next week, just some of the terrible things these people would do. But it absolutely included unchecked sexual immorality, for sure. You know, when we discover these things, we have to look in our own backyard and say, is this going on in my own backyard? You know, the Bible says that the reason that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is because all the cries came up to Jehovah about the things they were doing. Just like this guy, you know, he went away lamenting and weeping because they stole his stuff and treated him so terribly. You know, it's hard to say how many people cried out to God because of the way they've been treated. And I wonder how many people are crying out to God right now. And the thing about it is it's really not just the United States of America at this point. It's really just almost worldwide. The sexual immorality, the way people are treated, the wickedness, it's all, you know, Jesus said it'd be like the days of Lot and Noah. But he wasn't just referring to one area. He's referring to, you know, the world. The whole world is going to face God's wrath and judgment when this comes. And, man, I don't know how much longer God could delay. When I look at the world, look what they're doing. Look what they're pushing on children. Look what the church has become. You know, it's amazing. I'm honestly just dumbfounded and shocked when I look into the world. It's heartbreaking. And you know, it's going to get to the point where, you know, they'll be putting people like me in prison for just what I've said on the podcast, just for reading these headlines. I mean, this is what they want to accomplish. And folks, it's going to get nasty out there. And you just need to be prepared for that reality. You'll be hated. You know, those who seek to walk in righteousness, who seek to stand for truth and for what the Bible actually says, what God actually said, instead of what the denominational church says, those people are going to be persecuted greatly and hated for his name's sake. And these things are ramping up in a way that I personally never imagined possible. And I'm sure you're seeing it too. Anyway, that is the podcast for today. Next week, like I said, we're going to read chapter 19, which will be dealing with these judges and their evil judgment and the ultimate judgment from God according to the book of Jasher. And again, I mentioned it at the beginning of the episode. You can find this book in the notes, show notes. They're always there. It says Apocrypha, and it'll take you to a link on Amazon, and all these books are included in this for like $20. It's a great deal, and I love the Researcher's Library. I actually have all the volumes, but you only need volume one to have all of this. Hey, also, if you want to support me and this mission, you can do that by going to scriptureandprophecy.com. There's a support tab at the top where you can donate. And those of you who've been donating, your donations are much needed and so appreciated. So thank you so much. But if you want to bless me and bless this work, you can do that. You can also become a Patreon subscriber. I think we're up to 13 people supporting on a monthly basis. So thank you to those of you who are doing that. And of course, for those of you who like traditional mail, there's a P.O. box for you as well. So your donations and contributions are so greatly appreciated and are such a great blessing. So I thank you for that. And then, of course, your prayers are much, much needed. That's the show for today. I apologize for the large amount of rambling that went into today. I think next week you're really going to enjoy it when we get to chapter 19. It's going to be a little more dramatic than what we read today, but hopefully this is a blessing to you. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.